Don't read me a letter. I already know what it's gonna say. I'll go and get better, 'cause better is the only way.
That's Georgia Lines singing The Letter, the lead single from her debut album, The Rose of Jericho. It was just a couple of weeks ago that Georgia won the TUI for Best Pop Artist. Since then, her album has been released to rave reviews, her and her band have performed at a couple of well-received showcases, and there's even a huge billboard featuring Georgia up in downtown Auckland. Here's Georgia now to tell us about making the album and dealing with all the surrounding hype.
I saw one of the paper posters, and I was like, oh, there's my face. Very strange.
It's pretty wild. I mean, it's got to be exciting for you. How you've had all sorts of stuff happening with the awards and the album and the show and all that stuff. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling, I don't think overwhelmed is the right word, because it doesn't feel like an overwhelming feeling in a bad way, but more just there's been so much that's happened in the space of 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you know, with the awards and the album and the shows and the releases and, you know, celebrating everything and trying to just enjoy all of the things at once.
Yep.
It feels pretty amazing. And it was really special being able to play the album, you know, live this week.
Yep. Yep.
Twice, and to celebrate that and to kind of take a moment. And it felt really special for me just playing the songs and being able to just acknowledge the journey that it's taken to get here.
Yep.
Hence why I've got my cake. This is actually left over from the cake on Saturday.
Oh, nice one. Very good. Very good. Yeah, that's a wise move. Yeah, because I was watching, because you were up here at the studio here like in 2021. And I was watching a little of the interview, and we're talking about how everything is happening then. You know, you had all single and a video, and you were out to shoot something, and it's like just exploded since then. Does it feel like that was a long time ago or just the other day?
Kind of a little bit of both. Like, it feels like, you know, that 2021 feels like such a long time ago.
Yeah.
But then when I look back at the last few years, I'm like, there is so much that has happened in a short span of time. It feels like a really long time since I've been in the studio, that's for sure. But equally, I'm like, oh, I feel like that was just yesterday that, you know, I think I recorded the cover in there too. That was, did I just say a little prayer?
Yes, you did.
Yes.
It was beautiful. And we just got the piano tuned again the other day, so you're welcome to come back and give it another
time for me to come back. Yeah.
Sure it is. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So that would be cool. Yeah. So, with you were named Best Pop Artist when you got the AMA and the TUI or whatever. So I'm curious, before we get to talk about the record itself, being a pop artist, is that kind of how you see yourself? Because I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's very cool. I mean, pop is a very broad umbrella.
And it has all sorts of connotations,
exactly.
Both good and bad.
Exactly. And I've probably, you know, I've been in this, I guess you could call pop era. Like, I've released a bunch of pop singles and been very intentional about doing that the last little while, which has been super fun.
Yep.
And then I've also, you know, just released this record, which I started saying, oh, it's not a pop album. And so many people have said, well, it kind of is a pop album. Like, what do you mean it's not a pop album? I'm like, well, I guess it is a pop album, you know? Yep. So I think to answer your question, you know, being awarded Best Pop Artist, I was like, wow, like this is, I've probably always viewed pop music or Best Pop Artist as, you know, these amazing artists like Lorde and Benny, and they're doing this. I mean, I say that, and then as I'm going to say it, I'm like, but they've carved their own way, and their pop, their version of pop hasn't looked like maybe what was happening at the time as well. So it's pretty special. Very, very special. I'm like, wow, okay, thank you.
Excellent. So let's talk about the record, because that's very special as well. Mm-hmm. And I know you had an EP before that and a string of singles and all sorts of other things. But when you finally got to this debut album, did you did you have the songs like in place? Did you know what you were going to do going in, or was it a work in progress?
I wrote the record over the space of, I think, 2 years, if not slightly longer. And so, you know, throughout those 2 years, I was still releasing music. I was still releasing all of these singles and, you know, Romeo and Monopoly and kind of doing this. And meanwhile, writing all these other things on the side, and not even on the side, but, you know, it was happening in the background. So when we went to actually record the album, we did a month, basically 2 weeks on, 1 week off, and then 2 weeks on again. Pardon me, working with Nick Manders up here in Auckland.
Mm-hmm.
And going into it, I felt like I had this pool of songs that I was like, there's, you know, maybe 30 songs that I had that I liked. And Nick and I would sat down and we went through everything and we had a spreadsheet and we made notes of all of the things that we liked and we didn't like, and the songs that were definite yeses and the songs that were definite no's, and the ones that I liked the chorus of or I liked the sentiment of but did not like anything else. And started the process there and kind of created this pile of songs that we knew for sure were going to be on the record and the general feeling that I wanted to create. We spent a lot of time talking about that. And then we started just kind of pulling apart all of the ones that needed to be reworked and rewritten. And yeah, so I feel like it wasn't going in cold. I felt like I had the record there for sure.
So you had a vision.
I had a vision.
So what I have to ask, what were some of the conversations like that you had with Nick about what sound you were after?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a really big fan of this artist called Olivia Dean. I don't know if you've heard of her before.
Yeah.
And her record called Messy. Nick and I both loved that, and we talked a lot about that record. And I think initially I wanted my record to be this Olivia Dean record, you know.
Right.
I was like, oh, this is, feels like fun, and there's this the cool element to it. And when we started looking at the songs, we're like, these songs are not an Olivia Dean record. So we talked a lot about like, what is the story that I want to tell, and what is the feeling, and I've been watching a lot of Disney movies the last few years, like the very first animations.
Right.
And so I was really inspired visually by what was happening in those first animations and the orchestral kind of arrangements that would happen at the beginning of this movie. And so there were these kind of conversations that Nick and I would have about the Disney strings and the Billie Holiday record that I was listening to, and just kind of drawing from all of these different things that I was filling my creative tank with.
Right.
And then going, how can I make a Georgia Lines record that is completely myself?
Yep.
That is not trying to replicate somebody else, not trying to replicate an Olivia Dean record, but takes all of these things that have inspired me and recreate something that reflects the feeling of what I want this album to be, which I knew I wanted it to feel honest. I wanted it to feel real and vulnerable, but I wanted there to feel like there was a safety to it. So it wasn't, you know, people listening going, oh, how can we get out of this? This is like heavy. I wanted there to be a safety to the vulnerability and a lightness and an ease. And, you know, we just had lots of those conversations, which I think shaped the direction for sure.
I love the way you use the strings, because you don't overuse them. I mean, there's a tendency once you have them, just like, oh, we'll put them on everything all over the place. But they're used quite sparingly and subtly. Mm. Was that a conversation you had?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I would have loved to have used strings through the whole album.
Right.
But, you know, I think it was knowing when we were going to use them. I mean, Nick was brilliant for that. You know, he's an absolute genius, and knowing, okay, we really wanted on Grow Old Without You, we wanted this string Disney moment. That was the opening track to the album. I wanted it to feel like the opening track to the film, you know, exactly what I'd been watching. And so that was the no-brainer, like, we've got budget to do strings for. Let's make it count here.
Yeah.
I am so sorry.
there's amazing resources out there with not real strings, but it doesn't have the same feeling. So what are the other songs that really need the real strings? And what can we kind of do without? Mm-hmm. So yeah, they definitely have, it was a strategic conversation more so from a budget perspective than anything else.
Well, sometimes that's a good thing to, you know, have limitations and boundaries that you got to work around.
Too much of a good thing. You can't, you know, nobody needs that.
Except for the cake.
I've had so much cake the last few days. I'm like, fantastic meringue. It's great.
Yeah, yeah. Because I have a lot of events up here in my space, and people inevitably have cake with them, and they tend to leave it in the fridge and open it up, and it's like this giant frosting covered thing that I can't resist. So it's, yeah, I've been putting on a few pounds. But anyway, so for you, the 10 tracks that comprise the record, were they always, did you know that they were going to be in this order? How much time did you spend with the track listing?
A lot of time. Yeah. And I knew how I wanted to start the record and I knew how I wanted to end it.
Yep.
But the rest of it took a really long time to figure out and rearranging and re-listening to. And it was really important to me how the story went lyrically, but then musically how it went, and not going too hard too soon, but then also going, well, what's important at what point of the record, and, you know, what do people need at this point? So there was a lot of reshuffling and a lot of going, you know, okay, these five feel really good here, but the rest of them, you know, so there was a lot of thought. And especially when we did vinyl as well. And so,
right. So then you got to think about what's going to end the first side and start the second side.
When you flip it over, what is it going to start with? And so, yeah, I mean, I feel like we've landed on a really beautiful result, and it takes you through this kind of arc and journey. And I love the whole album. I'm so deeply proud of it. But when I get to End of the World and it starts to land, that's I just love how those songs just roll into each other, and obviously finishing with Grand Illusion.
Yep.
So fun.
And in the middle of that, you got Not By Your Side, which you got Teek singing with you on that. Yes. So tell me how that came together.
I can't make you love me right. I gave you my heart, but there's tears every time. Wish you
love that human too. Yeah, we over the last few years have become, you know, friends, and we've always talked about writing, and it's never happened in terms of, you know, it's just we've talked about it and we're like, hey, once let's do it at some stage. And you know, this was the first time that we were writing together. And so I think because we had the relationship and the friendship, it felt very easy, you're not going into a room cold. And Nick, Tex and I were, you know, in the room together, and I just said, you know, let's write something. Let's just see what happens. There's no pressure. Like, we didn't really know what it was going to be, who it was going to be for. Like, let's just write. And so we wrote Not By Your Side, and there was a lot of tears shed that day. But I think the two of them, with Tex and Nick, like the perfect combination of people to write this kind of song with. And Nick and I were so intentional about the people that we brought into the process and into the fold musically, because, you know, when you make something, the color, or, you know, even with a painting, like the colors that you paint with determine the feeling of the final piece of art.
Yep.
So for us, it was the same thing of going, who we bring into this record is going to shape what it feels like, you know, what they bring into the space, not just musically. And so Yeah, he was the perfect person to bring into this record. It's very, yeah, very special.
Yeah, yeah. And then the Grand Illusion, what I love about that is I'm pretty sure I can hear the pedals on your piano creaking away. Yes. And I'm sure you must have heard that too, as did Nick, and made a conscious decision to keep that in there. Is that right?
Can I build a life that I want to live in with beauty and pain in the same hand? When will it cease? I'll need to be distracted, trading our pain for the cheap imitations.
Yeah, and you can hear, I think, even on Grow Old Without You, you can hear this squeak of the chair.
Yep.
It adds to the character.
Yep.
You know? The feeling that it creates, there's just this, it's just there. You're like, you're in the room, you know, with the sounds and with the piano and with the pedal, and it's not polished, which I love.
Yeah. So when did you finish recording? How much time did you have to spend between the time it was kind of done and it was out?
Yeah. So we finished recording in November.
Uh-huh.
And mixed and mastered before Christmas. So I think it was a few weeks before Christmas. It was like, done, sign right. off. Please don't make me listen to my record again. You know, I've listened to it so many times. And yeah, so just say, you know, December through till June.
Yeah, that's a half a year.
Is half a year that I've been sitting on this record. And obviously we've had singles rolling out, you know, from the beginning of the year with The Letter and Grow Old Without You and Wayside. But feels like a long time to sit on a finished record.
Yeah.
But also it went so fast. I'm so glad that we had that time to kind of roll all the things out and get everything prepared and ready, so that we could release it and be prepared and ready. It's out. It's in the world.
It is. And now you're playing these songs. Like, I saw you perform the whole record with your band the other day. So I assume there was some rehearsal that had to be going on to get ready to do that.
Sure.
What was that like for you to suddenly be back in the middle of all those songs?
It felt like I came into it with a very new, because I've had such a break from the record. I came into it feeling excited and not going, oh, how am I going to, you know, get my headspace into this record after listening to it for months and months and months on end. So I felt really excited, and I felt really excited to play it with the people that I was playing it with as well, because of who they are and what they bring, you know, to the shows. And I really felt that on Wednesday night, which is where I saw you, you know, the specialness of playing with these people. But, it was pretty amazing. And amazing because, you know, I've never played these songs outside of me on the piano before.
Yep.
So just having them reinterpret and bringing kind of their musicality and all of their feelings and excitement and nervousness and, you know, all the things to the table. So, yeah, very, very cool.
Yeah, well, I always know that when Marika's on stage that we're in good hands.
We're okay, yeah.
It's going to be good. So now that the record's out and you've won all the awards and you've played this, what is your mindset like now? Is it going to take some time to let it all sit in, or are you anxious to move forward?
No, I think it's going to take some time to sit in for sure, and to allow it to just, you know, it's been such a big build up to the release of the record, and then to finally have it out, like, I'm still shocked that it's out in the world. I'm like, oh, that's right, my record is actually here.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's going to take some time to, you know, really just allow all of the busyness and all of the excitement and all of the things to just really sink in. I'm going on holiday in a few weeks, and I'm
really excited. I'm sure you deserve that.
definitely looking forward to just, you know, be able to have a break and, you know, come back into playing more shows and, you know, be refreshed and all of the things that you come back from a holiday with.